This is Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan. Brisbane as.
Hello, welcome to the podcast. Marto, Margo and Dan with you. 0484 10 1045. That is the burner phone number. Text us during the show. Text us when you're at home. Text us when you're on the toilet. We don't care. We just like to hear from you. And if we can't get to it on the show, we'll do it right now.
Yeah, like Owen from Oxley got in touch. We were talking about, Marto, you were saying it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert at something. And he said he read that book, Marto, that you read. He tried to put it into practice with golf. 10 years of golf lessons later, and I'm up to about 9,500 hours. And all I've got to show for it is calloused hands, a wife with who no longer talks to me, and a drinking problem from putting it in as...
Putting it in.
Oh, I thought the putting was a golf reference.
It's the same word.
So. Sorry. Yeah. And a drinking problem from putting in twice as much time on the 19th hole. Love your work, guys.
Where's the problem?
What a wonderful life.
Maybe his handicap's not very good.
Oh, don't worry about golf. You've got the perfect life, Owen.
Is he a drinking expert all this time on the 19th? Yes. I think you've become an expert in the wrong thing, Owen.
Mm-mm.
Or the right thing, even. We were talking you had to be there as well, Marto. You're constantly getting harassed by Margot Parker showing you videos of
her children. I've given her warnings now and I've spoken to HR. It should slow down a little bit.
Did you notice that I've since not showed you any videos and I've gone over to the other side of the desk and I've shown Dan instead?
Stitched me
and
up,
I will continue
asshole.
To do that until he complains to HR.
So anyway, it's you had to be there moments.
How did I see your six-year-old daughter this morning on the back of a boat?
Dan, and Dan said, Marto, you have to see this.
We're playing ping pong, Marto. Harassment ping pong.
I'm sure everyone understands the concept, like Brett from Yarrabilba does. My brother thinks his stepdaughter's an amazing
singer
and is always sharing videos of her to the family WhatsApp group. She's a lovely young girl, but seriously, her voice could cut glass. Sounds like rocks going through a blender. A lot of people.
We've got some of her here. You want to hear it?
I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words.
Just do it for 10,000 hours.
How wonderful life.
Just because the shower's running, it makes your voice sound good. It doesn't mean
we have a family group chat, and I am that person. I put videos of the kids, and like if they get a medal or an award or something in that chat.
Yeah.
And recently, my nephew told me about an achievement of his, and I said to his mother, who is my sister-in-law, "Why didn't you let us know about that?" And she said, "Because I'm not a show-off, Margo."
Ooh,
I wasn't sure whether to take that personally or not because I was like, I put everything in the family.
There's the honesty we need, Marto.
Yeah, take it personally.
Yeah, okay.
Take it personally.
We're still friends. Yeah, we're still on speaking terms.
Oh, dear. I don't know. I should have read this a little bit more. Amity, my husband's 41. This is things you shouldn't do. My husband's 41, about 15 kilos overweight. And
I don't think you can finish this sentence.
I can't use all these
words. This is in Amity's words, though, is it?
And he's very ordinary coordination-wise, but has convinced himself that he can be the next Conor McGregor. He's taken up jiu-jitsu at 41 and makes me watch videos of his training sessions. He's friggin' hopeless.
I wonder if Amity's husband, who she's not named, understands that Conor McGregor is a... what is he, a UFC fighter, not jiu-jitsu? I'm not sure it's in the same realm.
Surely there's not a famous jiu-jitsu fighter.
Well, no, they all train doing it. Brazilian jiu-jitsu is a new fad now, and Joe Rogan talks about it all the time. But you see, Amity's husband, we need people like him because, just to hark back to our other topic, he's making other people experts. Because he is the dummy. He's the dummy that they choke out for their 10,000 hours.
But it also might just be good exercise for him, Amity. You know, the jiu-jitsu might drop a couple of those kilos that you're talking about.
But just box. Just do boxing. Jiu-jitsu.
Maybe he's got soft hands and knuckles.
Do you know that other Brazilian one, the capoeira?
Oh, that's cool.
They do dancing.
I've seen that. Cartwheels and they kick each other.
I've never seen anyone get a foot connected to the face.
Oh, no, it's just pretend.
Well, what's the use of it?
Careful. Margo seems to like it. She'll be showing you videos of capoeira soon.
Some capoeira.
I may have gone on a few dates with a guy that did capoeira when I took up salsa dancing after I finished high school.
Okay, see ya. Are we off, Marto?
See ya,
Marto.
Yeah.
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M.
What are you grumbling about?
I'm a disappointment. Yeah, you know how I said to you, I'm cutting my tennis addiction. It's all over after the demon got beaten by Djokovic.
Yeah.
And like a drug addict, I saw an opportunity. I got back on the tennis last night.
Just very sitting home, watching TV.
Very disappointed myself because I was doing exercise. I can't avoid it. There was blokes hitting this tennis ball and I used to be a tennis player when I was a kid and I just go,
You need another fix.
That looks great. All right.
Just get a sniff.
Can I just talk? And we've talked about the sport. We've talked about sportism where... over-focus, you know, our Spanish friend, he loves his tennis, Rafa.
I like to play tennis.
If he's not sportistic, I don't know what he is. Novak Djokovic in many ways is. It's just there.
What's the other one? Federer.
Federer, yes, very much so. Most of them are. They're just focused.
Swimmers.
All right. And then a mate rang me and we started talking about a book we both read years ago called The Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell. I think I've spoken about it once on this show over the last 20 years. It's the most amazing theory that he had. It's the 10,000-hour rule. And what it is, to achieve expertise in any task, you have to have done that task, not a variety of tasks, that task for 10,000 hours. You understand the enormity of 10,000 hours, Margot?
Can you break it down for me?
If I'm a tennis player, let's say I'm 15 and it's quite obvious I'm going to be a very good tennis player, I'll be practicing for 4 hours a day, say, for the sake of these calculations, 6 days a week for 50 weeks of the year. That's 1,200 hours a year I'm practicing tennis. Therefore, after just 8.5 years, I'm an expert. So... if you get these 21-year-olds and you go, how come, and the demon is only just 23 or 24, so he's not quite an expert, whereas you get Djokovic is 33, he an expert. You've got to have some ability in the task to start with, and then you develop your expertise. I want to run at 133.53 because I'm going to take a bricklayer example, okay? If you're a brickie, and I'm not talking about the years while you're learning to be a brickie, if you attain a certain level of proficiency at being a brickie, hit me on the head if this is too much for everybody, but you are a brickie. You know how to lay bricks to build a house, a fence, whatever, okay? You then work, let's say 8 hours a day to make it easy for me, 5 days a week for 50 weeks a year, 2,000 hours a year. After five years, you're an expert.
How many years is
you've
an apprentice?
You've also had enough of frigging bricks, but how many what?
What's an apprenticeship?
Well, don't worry about the apprenticeship because you're not proficient. Well, you're learning how to become a brickie.
Your time starts from after you're an apprentice.
Yeah. You would technically become an expert at being an apprentice, which is what running wheelbarrows.
That's right, and mixing mud.
Well, that's why they pay you more money than me and Dan because we're only like, I'm only 5 years into radio. Right, Dan's what, nine? Marto, you're 21 years into radio.
Here's radio. I've done the calculation. I'm going to say we work 5 hours a day because I know it's not obvious, but we do preparation. Stop it. Did you laugh?
You said to hit you on the head when you started talking nonsense.
No, that was when I was doing the bricky bit. Listen, 133.53. Can I get anyone, whether you're a house painter or a surgeon? A surgeon. For them to get 10,000 hours takes forever. Because
so how long would it take us to get 10,000 hours?
5 hours a day for 5 days a week, and I'm going to be generous and say 44 weeks of the year, is 1,100 hours a year. 1,100 hours a year takes you 9 years. How many years have you been doing it?
Five.
Hang on. You're five, telling you me by your calculations, Margot's half an expert at radio.
Hopefully there's some good stuff going to come in the back end of those 9 years.
This is not helping my contract negotiations moving forward. I can't go in being under-experienced and not an expert yet because I want to tell them that I am an expert and they need to pay me more.
Well, you can say approaching expertise level in the next couple of years if you go with me for a bit longer.
Then they'll just play her this.
Travis!
Are they going to pay you 18 bucks an hour?
That makes the best radio, I'll have you know. Right. Thank you very
Germany
much.
Germany and quite Brazil clearly, combined there.
Quite clearly, we'll finish this up because quite clearly no one's ringing. I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
I know. Ask them again. 133.53.
As a carpenter, you're doing 2,000 hours a year. After you become a carpenter, 5 years later, are you an expert? I reckon so.
Let's find out.
Does this work in your industry? You're a truck driver. The Beatles, they didn't just hang around Liverpool. They went down to Germany and Berlin and played strip clubs. They played like for 12 hours a day. They were incredible. They'd play five clubs a night and stuff. They honed their skill and then went back to England and went, you guys are amazing. You're such a tight, well-formed. They did their 10,000 hours virtually before the rest of the world had heard of
them. Hang on. You're telling me these blokes are experts.
Okay.
They were off their head on LSD is what they were.
That day. So the Beatles was one. Bill Gates. He talks about Bill Gates. Expert, the greatest computer programmer in the history of the world at that stage, because he got access through his mum, I think, to a community computer. No one else could get access. There was weren't many computers.
There was one computer in the whole town, I think, and he got priority access
and
to
got to use it for free, yeah. And he used to use it all night, every night, and he became an expert, and then he became Bill Gates and la, 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 the rest. There's something to it, and I was watching the tennis and went, these kids have been practicing since they're 14 or 15 for 5 hours a day. They're experts by the time they're 22 or 3.
Rafa and says it best. How do you become an expert, Rafa?
I like to play tennis.
He loves playing. You just play and play and play. You do have to have a little bit of aptitude, and we were going, does it apply to the trades? Like, if you're a carpenter, you're doing 2,000 hours a week, a month, 2,000 hours a year, it should take 5 years and you're an expert. So any of you, like my son, any of you blokes first or second year out of your apprenticeship, you're not experts, okay?
You've been doing radio for 21 years, Marto. What does that make you? You're beyond expert. Have you been knighted yet?
Grandmaster.
Grandmaster.
That's what happens in chess. You go from master to grandmaster.
Grandmaster on very many levels, because you're also an expert with...
Because I am the rum lord.
When you reach 10,000 hours of rum consumption, you become the rum lord.
Okay. It's not about me and my
lord
consumption
Gregory
of alcohol.
John Martin.
Right, let's ask Kerry. Kerry from Plainland. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Marto.
What's the task? How long have you been doing it? Are you an expert?
Yeah, I'm an expert in property maintenance and lawn mowing, doing it for 42 years.
Oh, Jesus. Have you ever added up the hours?
No, I used to, when I first started, I used to work 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, pushing with a Victor utility mower.
Hold on, well, let's call that 100 hours
about
100, a week.
Yeah.
You're halfway to becoming an expert in the first year. but Kerry, you've seen everything. And do you believe in the theory?
Yes.
All right.
Kerry, what's the difference between you and a newcomer? Are you just incredibly efficient? Is there just so many things that you know that they have no idea about?
Yeah, the cut of the grass, the grain, the width, the height.
I believe in
swift growth.
Oh, do you really?
The barramundi fertiliser.
Yes. I cut my lawn on 10. That's how good Swift Bro is.
Oh, wow.
Gosh, Kerry, I think the only way to determine whether or not he's an expert or not is it...
What's happened? Did you have a stroke?
Have you turned her mic off or she stopped speaking?
She turned her brain off.
How did we do this?
Is it blow, snip, whip?
Are you talking about your private life?
Get Kerry back on for a bit of lawn porn. She wants to know, should you whip a snip and then mow and then blow? So, Kerry...
I whip a snip first...
Then you mow.
Then you mow, then I blow.
Thank you. You're right with that.
Lawn porn.
Snip, mow, blow.
What happened inside your head? Can you run us through? And you're halfway to radio expert.
I'm so sorry.
You're lacking that other half of expertise. Terry in Springwood.
I thought you were going to say she's lacking the other half of the hemisphere of her brain.
The words just literally didn't come out.
You're right. But lock this in, okay? Mow.
Mow, blow, snip.
No, not mow, blow.
Do you not listen? Did he say snip first?
No. He said, Mo, get back to Kerry. Kerry, are you there, mate?
Tell Margo.
Yeah.
She's probably seen me working because I work a lot around Logan.
All right.
Maybe, Kerry. I'll keep an eye out for you.
Kerry, just again, she was having trouble. It's Mo, snip, blow.
Oh, not snip, Mo, blow.
Well, don't say that. Just say Mo, snip, blow.
Mo, snip, blow.
No, sorry, snip, Mo, blow.
Oh, forget it.
Marto, Margo and Dan, you can listen in the car or wherever you can. Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
I know we're affiliated with the Dolphins this year in the NRL. Welcome.
Fins up.
Welcome to the season. Fins up. Get around Triple M.
What a scary spine. Jeez, if Sean O'Sullivan and Fat Milford was coming at you, I'd be worried.
Hasn't Fat Milford trimmed down?
No.
No, okay. Well, I'll tell you who has trimmed down. The Parramatta Eels, gentlemen, because I think I might need to get on the Eels train.
Why?
This year, I'm following their Instagram heavily.
Why are you following their Instagram of the Eels?
Because there is lots of photos with men with their shirts off.
Mitchell
and their
Moses.
Biceps out. Josh Hodgson. Holy moly. He's done some pre-season training.
Actually, you did show me a photo.
Under the dumbbells.
He's got some biceps on him.
He's lifting some heavy weights.
Is the coach
bulging muscles?
Arthur is he getting his shirt off as well? Is the coach in on the action?
No,
father
thank
and
goodness,
son.
Because he
father
hasn't
and
been
son. Shot.
On his shoulders, on his dad's shoulders.
Oh my God!
There's something for everybody, ladies and gentlemen. Josh Hodgson, Mike Acevo. Geez, he's been doing some pre-season workout. Clint Gutherson.
How's Gutho? Holy moly. King Gutho, how's he looking?
Lean, Marto. The V is strong.
Is Corey not doing his job here? Why are you salivating over Instagram?
Well, I see Corey with his shirt off all the time. Yeah, you know, you become desensitized to it after a while.
Gotcha.
Ryan Madison. I don't know who he is, but Matto is my most highest engaged
Actually, he's always got a good rig. He's big boy too.
You know when your Instagram shows you your engagement, who you've engaged with the most over the week? Ryan Madison seems to come up pretty frequently on mine.
Tell me, I'm not an Instagram perv. So you just go to the Eels page and just look at players?
Yeah, they post videos and photos of the boys without their shirts on all the time. I don't know if they're trying to get their lady members subscription up. But
Lady Eels.
Yeah.
Should we do this for Triple M, Greg? Maybe you, me, Snowy, and Alex just stroll around with our shirts.
I think that's unnecessary. No, it's not necessary.
I'm trying to lose
pants down, flutes out. Hello, girls.
Look at that.
Yeah, who cares? You're on radio. Nobody cares.
I don't know what they're doing down there, but there's been suggestions. Perhaps they're following the Liver King's lifestyle of just eating.
Remind me of the Liver King.
Well, he's the one that bangs on about the eating liver because it was the one that the hunters and the gatherers went to first because it's the most nutritious,
most iron.
He's all about eating the organs of animals. He's all protein, lift weights, live an authentic lifestyle.
That our ancestors...
Anabolic steroids, perhaps?
Did our ancestors...
Hang on a second. There was suggestions that perhaps he wasn't living naturally.
Turn it up. Marto, anyone who knows anything about this...
Remember the
Broncos around the turn of the century? Oh, I put on 8 kilograms over the off-season. Mate, you're 24 years of age. We know that you didn't eat bananas, but no one's testing you for steroids.
How dare you?
What?
When asked if I've ever taken steroids, I've always said no. I don't touch the stuff. Oh. Not going to touch the stuff. Never touch the stuff. That was a lie.
That was a lie.
Yeah, he's admitted it.
When did that come out?
Over the holidays.
Yeah. Oh, it's Chris Hemsworth. I train hard. It's all natural. Yeah, mate. Chill, mate.
Yeah, it turns out November of last year, an email chain was leaked, Marto, between him and a trainer, which admit he was corresponding with a human. Oh, let him tell you.
I'm making this video to apologize because I'm embarrassed and ashamed because I lied. Yes, I've done steroids. And yes, I'm on steroids monitored and managed by a trained hormone clinician.
No shit.
Trained hormone clinicians. A bloke did a 6-week TAFE course. That's who's feeding him to him.
You know what one does when they have to backpedal? They make excuses, of course.
Liver King, the public figure, was an experiment to spread the message, to bring awareness to the 4,000 people a day who kill themselves. The 80,000 people a day that try to kill themselves. Our people are hurting at record rates with depression, autoimmune, anxiety, infertility, low ambition in life.
Yeah, that's right. Use everybody else's flaws and mental health and illness and sickness as an excuse for your stuff up, you idiot.
What's his message?
Is he still eating? Is he off the liver at least?
No, he's still eating liver.
Still eating.
He did apologize. And he is fully owning it.
I fully own that I f***ed up. I am as sorry as a man can be. And all I can do is take extreme ownership right now, be better, and lead myself to a better life as a better human. Again, thank you to everyone for the support, the criticism, the love.
Sorry, I had to.
I mean, my six-year-old apologizes better than that when she doesn't actually want to apologize.
Did he pay all the money?
Sorry.
Did he pay all the money he made off being Liver King back to anyone?
I don't think so.
He still flies private as private jet.
But he said sorry. He's accountable. Okay. That's all that matters.
Harley Breen. His humor ain't clean. With his handlebar mustache, he looks mean. It's Harley Breen.
Ahoy! Boom! Yes!
Morning, Harley.
Guys.
Welcome back. Yes.
I am just glad that there's one day a week I have to wake up because without you guys, it's really questionable that I am a taxpayer at this stage. Really not doing much with my life, including this week. I've had a belter of a week because on Monday, it was my special day. It was my birthday. On Monday.
Happy birthday. Do you need me to sing again?
Thank you so much to all of you for sending me those personal messages. Oh, wait a minute. No one remembered. Who cares?
No, that's because it was my birthday last week and the birthday week continued into this week.
You know what they say about 43? It's the new 41. It's big. It's a big deal.
It's one of the great prime numbers, 43. Well done, Hals. You got there.
Thank you very much. Well, my wife is, I think she's always been exceptional at gift giving, and she knocked it out of the park this week, and this year, I should say, this week. I have a birthday a week. That's how it goes.
You're not Margot.
But, Marto, I reckon this is going to be right up your alley. I wake up, they've set up the lounge room as a little birthday celebration, and the kids are all very excited. And
that's great.
I open up a gift from my parents, which was weird. I thought at 43 you don't get gifts from your parents anymore.
But scratchy?
No, they gave me a coffee bean grinder, which was very appreciated. Then there was another little box there to open it, and I open it up, and inside, I'll just give it what it's called so that you can try and understand it in your head. It was a Viking meat axe. Is what my wife bought me. So basically it's a cleaver, but it looks like a death machine. Like it's a curved blade, and essentially it's a cleaver, but it's got all these sort of Viking markings on it, and it looks like death. But all that did to me was like, well, I've got to cook some meat then, don't I?
Exactly.
You know, you get given something like that.
You've got to use it.
Yes. So the very next thing I did, I said, right, I'm off to the butcher's, and I came back with a 2.5 kilo leg of lamb.
Of course you did.
Did you take the axe, Harley, with you? Did you rob the butcher's?
Well, it came with a little sheath that you can wear on your belt, and all I can think about is the type of reprobate that's wearing this thing on their belt,
Harley,
to the butcher's.
You just talked about not having worked a lot recently. How did you afford 2.5 kilograms of lamb? It's like $80 at the moment a kilo.
A guest spot on Triple M every week pays the bills. Anyway, so
can I ask, at any stage, did you think about taking that knife, your new cleaver, down to the butchers? Because if there's anyone going to go love a knife, it's going to be them.
Well, I did, but the butchers I go to is right beside the plod, so I thought, you know, maybe not a great idea.
The cops.
Walk around with a meat cleaver.
But then, I get this thing, and I'm like, well, how am I going to cook it? Because I'm a Viking now, right? I can't be just cooking it in the oven, and also I bought a leg that didn't fit in my oven.
Like a liver king.
As you know, my kid's into blacksmithing. Of course he is. So we've got a bit of scrap metal lying around the backyard.
Blacksmithing? Is that like really
what's
old?
Going on with you today, Margo? You don't know anything I'm talking
You're
about.
You're talking Melbourne speak down there. What's going on?
You're speaking medieval terms.
Anyway, I've got a tractor lever in the backyard, this big old rusted tractor lever. And so I...
What's a tractor lever? Who are you? What is going on? Do I need to leave?
Margo celebrated her birthday so hard she's forgotten English.
It's the lever you pull when you want to release your tractor.
You cannot tell me that everybody knows what plod, tractor lever, and blacksmithing is.
Tractor levers are like a handbrake for your tractor.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Then they did
say brake, a handbrake for the tractor.
There'll be some jousting shortly, but
The kids were getting dressed up and getting on their horses. And then,
look, if I don't understand, I'm sure there's plenty of our listeners in the car not understanding also.
Mate, this was going to be a short break. I'm only halfway through.
I promise I won't say another thing.
I rigged up a chain on the end of the lever, the handbrake, if you will, Margo.
Thank you, yes.
And then I started a fire, and I've suspended the leg of lamb over the coals. Anyway, by about 6:30 that night, all my friends said, we've got to go, and the thing was still raw. And then by about 10 o'clock at night, I went, so it had been 7 hours on the coals, and I went, okay, I'll finish this thing off in the oven. And then 12:30 in the morning, I was sitting there enjoying my lamb on my birthday.
Slow-cooked lamb.
Oh, God.
We're all admiring pictures in the studio. We might have to get one up on the Triple M Instagram of Harley Breen's axe that he was given for
that
his birthday.
That is a weapon.
Yeah, it's an actual weapon. Yeah, so are my children. They're flesh weapons, those three.
You guys are still on holidays down there, aren't you? You got another week to go?
Mate, there's so many reasons I just want to live back in the mother country.
Oh, no.
And this
might
is a big
back
one.
On Monday.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what goes on. You guys, you go on break at the right time, at the start of December, and then you actually get things done correctly and just get them back to school again. We just drag on almost into February before they go back down here.
Is it something to do with the Australian Open? Is that why... What is going on down in Melbourne?
Yeah, we should tell people Harley is coming to us from our sister station down in Melbourne.
Mm. That's right.
What is it, top of 13 today in hail? What's happening down there?
I don't know what's happening here. I don't even look anymore. I come out. out of my room to do this and just talk Queensland and then I go back into it again.
I'd rather be
stuck in lockdown still, it sounds like.
Well, I've been trying to find interesting things to do with the children. So we went off to the zoo the other day, which is, you know, it's a lovely way to spend a few $100 and get your kids disappointed that the lion won't run around because it's bored as shit and it's crap enclosure.
Starving.
You know, my favourite animal is the platypus, and you got to go into this darkened cave and there's just everyone's just making noises in there and as if the platypus would want to come out anyway. So you're just sitting there and there's kids just bashing against the glass. I'm trying to enjoy myself. You've seen the elephants and then there's parents getting awkward about the size of its dong as it walks past.
I've been to the zoo with my kids to see the polar bears and am yet still to see a polar bear because they hide.
No. Yeah, they're not meant to be in Australia, are they? They're called a polar bear for a reason.
And wombats. A lot. It's as if animals don't like being seen.
Is that it? No, that's a rock.
Yeah, it's as if they don't like being in captivity. But you know what animal I enjoyed the most at the zoo was the bogan. My God, do they get unleashed on the zoo. The hectic things that people will put on for a day out. You're like, you've left the house, you realise, Cheryl.
Like that.
Holy crap. And how many kids have they got? Anyway, look, I don't know.
She's the one talking about the elephant, isn't she, Cheryl?
Yeah. And can we just for once and for all say exercise tights are for exercising, not for wandering around the zoo. Jesus. I can see you poorly.
It's Marto and Margo and Dan on Triple M. Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
Thought we'd bring this back today because we did it later on the show yesterday. So we thought for our early risers they could have a crack at something that we had a crack at Margo about.
Well, Margo kept showing me photos of of everything, of her children. You stole my focus from the show yesterday. Hey, have a look at this one. And then you did it too. You showed me your kids. I don't care about your children, okay? Yeah, the videos of how good they are.
Is that why in our post-show meeting, our content director said we really need to get you off your phone? Distraction is a big thing in the studio we're going to work on with you, Margo.
Did he say that?
In the meeting.
Oh, no, you do it all the time, though. But yesterday I just cracked it.
Mother, she's annoying. We made you a little song too. Proud mother.
But you know what? We worked out it wasn't just kids. It was people taking photos of, you know, all the things that people do. You just go, oh, cut it out, will you?
Well, let's open the phones now so you can have a crack if you want to get it off your chest. 1-3-3-5-3. Here's what we got yesterday.
Food. Really? Who wants to see your spaghetti bolognese that you cook?
It's a good mate of ours, palm trees. Holy shit.
What about
a few
them?
Beers, and he is pulling out photos and botanic names of every type of palm under the tongue.
Back to school photos. Like,
oh,
really?
Jesus.
Oh, my God, this just happened. They're starting high school. No shit.
I think we realised Margo was guilty of
I was guilty of all of them. You know what I'm not guilty of and I actually don't like? I thought about it later.
Sunsets.
Photos of people's dogs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even care about my own dogs. I don't care about yours. Yeah. People are like, oh, look, my dog in the Santa outfit. Oh, look, my dog wearing a panda suit. Oh, look, my dog chasing something around the yard. I don't care.
If
I don't want to see dogs.
If someone shows you a photo of a dog today, you would say back to them, oh, that reminds me, my dog ran away in the storm last night. If you've seen it, can you let me know?
Sunsets. No need.
No, I'll just wait and see one tonight.
Listen, it's great. If you take a photo of something that's funny, you're good on you. But if you take a photo of something that only concerns you, don't.
You
fireworks.
Know what doesn't translate?
Cut your fingers off.
The moon. You know when you try and get a good moon?
Bad.
I love it.
It's a blood moon.
I'm trying to get the best photo of the moon ever because, you know, I love the moon and it's so big and beautiful in colour, and then you take it and it's like a spot.
Unless you take a photo of the moon and you can see a couple of people walking around up there, I don't want to see another photo.
Unless you're operating the Hubble telescope,
yes, exactly.
I don't want to see your moon shot.
What have you left to take photos of then?
Anything.
And share.
But keep it to yourself.
Make it funny.
Okay.
Not about yourself. Yeah, keep yourself to yourself. There's too much sharing. Give us Sarah.
Okay, go, Sarah.
Sarah from Holland Park said she's sick of Instagram stories of reading books at the beach. They probably can't even read.
Oh, over the holidays. Look how smart I am. Is that what that's supposed to say?
They probably didn't even read the book.
I read a book.
Save Lee to the end because it's another ripper.
Okay.
You'll love that.
Let's go. Reese from Vicky Point. How are you, mate?
Good, fellas. How are you? Oh, sorry, Margo. How are you?
I'm good, Reese. Thank you for the acknowledgement.
She's one of the lads.
Righto. What is it you had to be there style and people shouldn't be doing?
Oh, it's an Instagram thing again. You know when all these retreads, they post photos of selfies with the stubby in their hand, and then they caption it with something like, "Oh, rude not to," or, you know, "Go for it."
Here's that, to you.
Yeah, they won't drink themselves.
Oh, yeah, absolute flops.
Thank you, Rose.
Well done. Man.
That sums them up. That's what they are.
Do you want Lee from Greenbank?
You know the one I love, and oh, I do it often. I am guilty of it, is the boomerang cheers, you know, where everyone puts their drink in and you all cheers.
And you shoot it from
on top? You do a boomerang of it.
Do you cheers the camera too? Because that's the most cringy.
When I do that, the people are actually there. They're not on a screen. They're actually, oh, hello, you're a real person.
Lee from Greenbank, 0484 10 1045. Can we have an armistice on gym pics?
I get it.
It's January and you're trying to do the whole new year, new me thing, but no one gives a shit how many calories you burnt doing star jumps.
True.
I just want to eat my chips and drink my beer and guilt free.
Who's doing star jumps?
This is Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan. Brisbane as.
Run a quick one by you. I know you work for Channel 9 on the Weekend Today show, Dan, so you can play this as you see fit. Mm. Remember yesterday we spoke about Wally Lewis stepping down from reading the sports news at Channel 9?
Yes.
Okay, last night.
Was he still there or did he step down effective immediately?
No, he's doing other things with the network. He'll stay involved with the network and presenting. That usually means we'll never see him again, but that's okay. So Andrew Lofthouse, the lead newsreader, he did an exclusive with Wally Lewis. I don't know if that's an exclusive. If you interview as a newsreader your sports reader, is that an exclusive? You just walk out the door. You know where the helipad is there at Channel 9?
Yeah.
They just walked out the door there and did an interview. Is that an exclusive?
Well, no one else can get Wally because contractually
he's obliged to stay with Channel 9.
It would have been exclusive if Channel 10 interviewed Wally. Like, that would have been exclusive, really.
Well, that would have been spectacular had Channel
10
gone.
Would have been spectacular. All right, so Wally's gone. So all the speculation in the media world yesterday.
Who will take his place?
That's right. And you know the bloke who reads the news on the weekend, Jonathan Upton.
Upton.
I believe he is the head of sport at Channel 9 Brisbane.
Updo, they call him.
Do they just?
Mm.
All right. So would Andrew Lofthouse, he'll be working with him. You know, they do those wonderful handovers. You know, here's Jonathan Upton with the sport.
With the sport. Mm.
Exactly. They might, and he's down at the Australian Open at the moment, Jonathan Upton. So he's favourite as far as I hear from my sources.
Mm. How does Dobbo feel about that?
Well, I don't know. I reckon
you'd be good, Marto. Why don't you get a gig?
Because I'm far too old. Oh. But basically, I wonder if Andrew Lofthouse is happy. Did he mispronounce Jonathan Upton's name on purpose or not?
Good luck, Mum and Dad. Well, Jonathan Upton is live at the Australian Open. Jono Stefanos Tsitsipas headlines the action tonight.
Conspiracy theory.
Well, it's a thing over there. Remember Wally with Atlanta Energy?
Cummins won't appear in any ads for Atlanta Energy.
It's contagious.
Triple M. Maybe I could get a gig there.
I think they better check their air conditioning unit. There's something going on.
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. They're Brisbane as.
Now, often you see sports people and you go, I wonder what motivates them. Payne Haas, his little brother and, who he was, living for, Chase, who died a year ago.
Yeah, supporting his family.
He always says, that motivated me. And you get people like Brock ran across Australia. Motivated by, I think someone in his family died of cancer or something.
Homelessness.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, Corey always said the more kids he had, it motivated him more because he did. Needed to feed them all.
Yeah. Oh, I would have said the credit card bill at the end of each month.
No, I didn't have that before. That's more of a recent thing.
But different people, my mum died, those sort of things. Yeah. Oh, that's who I'm fighting for. And, you often see people scoring tries and pointing at their sky for their friend from high school.
On their wrist, they've got some sort of tape with a name on it.
Black armbands. Right. Mm. Yeah.
I was watching the tennis last night. And Kath said, who's playing? She yelled out to see if, because I sometimes tempt her to watch the tennis. She's not that interested, but if it's exciting, she'll come over. I said, it's the rich girl versus Red Foo's old girlfriend.
Of course.
So we talked about Victoria Azarenka. She was, when she won the Australian Open twice in 2012 and 13, she was going out with Red Foo from LMFAO.
And then she stopped to have a son.
And then she's come back. And this is the end of the first set. Squeaky shoes and screaming.
That's right. We said she was the noisy one.
That's the
we are getting the very best of Vika Azarenka. this evening.
Why the noise? Why do they make that noise?
Often
when
it's
they hit
to disguise the it's to disguise the ball hitting her. It's cheating.
Oh.
It's the sound of the ball because players, the opposition player, can pick up cues by the noise of the ball off her racket.
Stop it.
Yeah, it's dead set cheating. They all learn it in Florida at that bloke's tennis academy.
From King Richard, that fella.
Yeah, the one who coached the Williams. Everyone who came out of that tennis academy in Florida, sorry, boring story, but they all grunted because it disguised how much spin they were putting on the ball.
I like
also
that.
Also safe
I didn't know
to
that.
Say it's just annoying and can irritate the person
Sharapova,
you're playing against.
She was bad too, wasn't she, Maria Sharapova?
Oh, yeah, a lot of she went to the same tennis academy as the Williams sister. Yeah. So anyway, it's not about Azarenka, and she looks pretty good. For 33-year-old, mother of one, you know, she's motivated, but it's a girl.
Sexy, she knows.
She's motivated getting away from that man.
She likes champagne showers.
All right. Now, listen. Passion in his pants he had. Mm. But it's not about her. It's about a player she played, Jennifer Pegula.
Now, the rich
I told
one.
You, the rich
Buffalo
one.
Bills. Oh,
yeah. All right. So then I'm watching and I'm going, this is a bit boring. So I started doing the internet thing. And I went, how rich are her parents?
The internet thing.
Because I,
quote unquote.
The internet thing.
What kind of internet?
You know that little thing called the internet?
Which I started digging and going, how rich are her parents? What's her motivation? Absolutely nil. Do you know her parents? Yeah, I said he was an oil and gas guy.
Well, you said he outbid Donald Trump for the team.
To buy the Buffalo Bills.
How much did he pay for the team?
$1.4 billion. But that was 2 years after he sold his oil and gas company to Shell.
For
you've
what?
Heard of Shell?
Oh, yeah.
They're a little servo company for $4 billion. Oh. So he sold his company to them and he held on to some stuff. Then he bought the Buffalo Bills for $1.4 million. It's now worth, valued at $3.6 billion.
Jesus.
So he's made. Who makes money out of a football team?
Yeah.
Last year, the Buffalo Bills made a profit of $440 million.
Jesus.
Look.
NFL's where it's at.
Yeah, and you wonder, why did she get... She got beaten in straight sets last night. Maybe she's not training hard enough because maybe she doesn't need the money because what else? Oh, yeah, her father's and mother's net wealth last year went from $5.7 billion to $6.7 billion. Why would you slug your guts out?
Why?
What is she
but
looking
seriously,
for a husband with a bit of dough?
Maybe her parents don't give her a handout. Maybe they're those rich people that are like, no, you'll work for your own money and, you know, we might have a little inheritance put aside for you later, but maybe she has to work hard for
then
it.
Then I dug a bit deeper.
Not all rich people are entitled.
I went, she wouldn't need a sponsor because I'm looking if it says mum and dad on a shirt
Buffalo
somewhere.
Bills.
No, Yonex and Adidas. She's got all these sponsors. You're right. Her parents mustn't give her any dough. Then I went, I better check if she's won much prize money, poor little pet. $7 million. Jeez, I hate tennis players. Well, geez, I'm jealous of rich people.
Yeah, it's more that.
Yeah, I think so.
It's triple M.
About this time last year, Marto, you and I went along to Red Cross Lifeblood in the city and we donated some blood. And I was recently confronted with a situation where a friend of ours here in the studio, Amelia, who reads our news and our sport at the moment, has a friend. And her husband is in need of stem cell blood because he was diagnosed with leukemia 12 months ago and his only chance of survival is to have bone marrow transplant urgently. None of his family members are a match. And so, unfortunately for them...
Is this the one Amelia said... If he doesn't get help, this guy dies
shortly. He's going to die because he doesn't have a match and there currently is no match in the system. And a lot of people go and donate blood, but they don't register on the blood stem cell register. And so that's what we need. But to tell us a little bit more about it, we have Liam's beautiful wife on the phone, Josephine. Good morning, Josephine.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Is there anything you need to add to that?
We've been overwhelmed by the support and awareness that is starting to occur at the moment. And there's just a complete lack of understanding of how simple it is to go and give blood. And while you're there for an extra 5 minutes, they take one extra vial so that you can be added to the stem cell register and help save someone's life.
Josephine, whenever I hear of bone marrow transplants, they're usually from the family, but you've tested all of your family and there's no match, which is why you're so desperate.
Yes, I think it's about 70% of people don't end up finding a match within their families and have to rely on an anonymous donor. 80% of people have to find a donor outside of Australia, which is just mind-blowing because our numbers here are just not good enough.
Is it right, Josephine, that overseas, which is why a lot of our blood comes from there, is because it's just automatic in their life that they just register naturally and sign up? Like everybody has to do it. It's kind of like conscription.
It's opt out as opposed to opt in.
A lot of countries do have different policies, and ours is that you need to be between the ages of 18 to 35, literally the day before you turn 36. Mm. That's not the case for all countries. Some people can go up to 55 in the UK, I know, for instance. But I think for us, it's just trying to get the word out for anybody that you know. I myself was unaware of this at the time, and I'm out of that age bracket. However, if you are out of that age bracket, you can still go and just give blood, and you know that's just as amazing and legendary to help other people for different things. But it's really the key at the moment is getting onto that stem cell register if you are between the 18 and 35 age group.
Are we correct? Like you're playing this fairly cool and calm. If your husband, Liam, and father of your two young children, if he doesn't get this, he dies?
There is that high potential, yes. You know, that's pretty black and white. But, you know, there's hope, I guess, if we can find a match so that he can go on to have transplant, and that will definitely increase his chances,
Josie,
and be able to continue on with his family, yeah.
You got a chance with a big audience. What specifically do you want people to do who are under the age of 35? What can they do?
Go and give blood at the Red Cross, and while you're there, ask to join the stem cell register.
Right.
And then you just give a little bit more blood. You can find more information on Life Saving List on Instagram or the strengthtogive.org.au website.
Josie, how's Liam right now as we speak? How's he doing? And just tell us about him and how he's going.
Sure. So he's been in hospital since the 23rd of December this time. He has had a bad staph infection, which they had to operate on his leg to remove it. Just being so immunosuppressed, he's just not able to fight in any form of infection. So he's been there for 5 weeks now. It's really tough being away, as you mentioned, from our two young kids. Everyone's sort of just taking one day at a time and staying hopeful that this news can hopefully come, something good can come of all of this soon.
Well, Josie, we are sending you all of the love, well wishes, strength and healing for anybody out there under the age of 35, yourself, or if you have children that are aged 18 to 35, give them a little nudge that they might need. There are donation centres at Kelvin Grove, Chermside, Strathpine, North Ipswich, Southport, Robina, Maroochydore, Nambour. Brisbane City.
Listen, you young blokes, you get a pie, you get a soft drink, and it doesn't take very long. It's bloody good.
It doesn't take much time, and they compensate for your parking as well. If you're in a city, it doesn't take long.
You are listening to the wife of a bloke whose life you might be saving. It's as simple as that, blokes.
Good on you, Josie.
We really appreciate it and very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, mate. If you're listening, you haven't done it in a while, here's your little reminder. Go and do it. Tick the box. You'll definitely save a life, but it could be Josie's husband.
Some Triple M breakfast wherever you can. Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M.
Triple M breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
Just before the news, if you've just joined us, we were talking about things that probably shouldn't be on the internet, like your children, your dogs, your kids going to school, sunsets,
reading a book.
We were being negative and that was great. It's all done and dusted. Do you know what the internet is for, though? Kangaroos fighting. You think about some of the greatest things that have ever been on the internet is those kangaroo that was fighting that bloke's dog and he went over and punched the kangaroo.
What about the kangaroo that attacked the blokes at the golf club on the Gold Coast?
Yeah. They were swinging golf clubs.
The Colourbond fence with like the two brothers fighting and then one of the roos.
Oh, push it through, straight through a Colourbond fence.
Straight through the Colourbond fence.
Oh, and the kangaroo then just looked at the other one and went, I am in so much trouble with mum when I get home. Colourbond fence. He would have gone, what was that? Anyway, there's a new one doing the rounds as of last night, first time I'd seen it. It's usually over two young buck kangaroos. They want to get stuck in, it's mating time and I want to go first, la, la, la. Of course, same way men fight usually.
Yeah, it's like an NRL club.
All right, but they were in a camping ground. It was New South Wales. It was just on the weekend. So it was a camping weekend before Australia Day, la, la, la. People lying in there. Well, I'll let Lofty tell the story.
Two kangaroos have traded blows at a New South Wales camping ground. A young family caught in the chaos. The rampaging roos smashing into their tent.
Don't get near them.
Locals say the kangaroos were brawling for female attention.
What a great scream. You're in a tent and a kangaroo fight ends up landing on your tent.
Was that the screaming goat? I love that it took two kangaroos fighting for you to get across a viral video on social media.
Finally.
Greg maintains the internet should
be only for fighting kangaroos.
Kangaroo-based videos only.
Horny kangaroos.
That'll be your algorithm now. Yeah. You'll just get all the horny fighting kangaroos.
It's Marto and Margo and Dan on Triple M.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
Hey, with the Dolphins, with the introducing of the Dolphins.
Fins up.
That's P-H-I-N-S, isn't it?
Finny.
More rugby league stories than ever, and the season's about a month away from starting, and we're already getting plenty because they've got to go to the Broncos, they've got to cover the Dolphins and all the rest of
the Gold Coast Titans, the Cowboys.
There's rugby league teams everywhere here in Queensland now. And already a month out, and that Jonathan Apton from Channel 9.
Upton, I think you'll find it.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
The brief conversation with Wayne Bennett has convinced one of the Dolphins recruits his days in the forwards are over. Ewan Aitken won the Warriors Player of the Year award last season, lining up in the second row. But he's been shifted back to the centres after what started out as a confusing phone call with the Dolphins coach.
Okay, well, let's see that. Wayne obviously rang this Ewan Aitken. He used to play for the Dragons as well. He's a wonderful centre. Then he went to the... Oh, God.
Warriors,
and he was played in the forwards.
He likes moving people around, Wayno. Likes just testing their abilities.
Do you remember Tony Carroll.
Yep.
He played in the back row and in the centres.
And centres.
Darren Smith played in the back row and the centres. So there is a history. He doesn't mind it. Matt Gillette played a little bit of centre and second row.
Corey was front row, moved him into lock.
No, but I'm talking back row into centres, which is what we're talking here. All right. But can I talk about Corey? Because he spent many years with Wayne.
Yes.
And and they were talking there about a confusing phone call. Every phone call you have with Wayne.
Pardon, Wayne?
What's that? You're speaking Benish there. And that's obviously what happened here because both Dan and I said, did you understand that rugby league story from last night? We both came in this morning.
Well, yeah, we were texting going, Ewan Aitken.
What just happened?
Not
there?
Only was Wayne being confusing, but I think Ewan Aitken has confused the timeline. And you're married to an NRL, former NRL player, Margo.
You might be associated. We thought maybe you could translate it to cipher.
Okay.
What happened here? So Wayne rang here.
Well, who knows?
Who knows what happened?
You can hear this as many times as you want, Margo. Just close your eyes and everyone listening now, just concentrate.
So imagine, Wayne's rung you, you've just going to the club and you're going, oh, geez, it's the super coach.
What's happening?
I called him and he didn't actually save my number. So he rang me out and he's like, oh, do you want to play right centre? But he was asking me rhetorically because he didn't know who was speaking. And I was like, yeah, I am. I want to play right centre. But he goes, who am I speaking to?
So... He called him, but then the two sentences later, he seems to say, I called me.
So Ewan called Wayne or Wayne called Ewan?
Have a listen again.
I called him and he didn't actually save my number. So he rang me out and he's like, oh, do you want to play right centre? But he was asking me rhetorically because he didn't know who was speaking. And I was like, yeah, I am. I want to play right centre. But he goes, who am I speaking to?
So Ewan called Wayne,
and then
Wayne didn't save his number. So he called the number back and had a conversation with him.
But he didn't even say, who is this? He just said, do you want to play right centre? Because he obviously, that's what Ryan does. He just rings everybody.
What if it was Origin Energy and he's just gone to a call centre and said, do you want to play right centre?
These Dolphins, they're going to be brilliant because they're obviously not speaking English. They're just going to baffle the opposition.
CTE might be an issue there.
Which one?
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. Brisbane as.
Straight A Eve, we've got a day off tomorrow, which is great, but a few people are complaining about it, going, oh, it's Invasion Day, I don't want to take the day off. Well, don't take the day off. You go to work. I'm just worried. I don't care. I don't care.
We actually offered to work tomorrow.
Well, I was happy to work.
We were happy to work tomorrow,
really.
But...
to be fair, we wanted Friday off.
We did want Friday off instead.
And let's be real.
Sense, right?
A lot of people are going to take tomorrow and Friday off and Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
Perfect. It's the Australia Day Easter weekend, I'll call that. Mm. And listen, just about it, like all this nonsense with Invasion Day, et cetera, If I'm Turkish, do I not celebrate Anzac Day? If I don't believe in rides, do I not care about Eka holiday? Do I protest about Eka holiday? If I don't believe in the Queen, do I still take that holiday? Yes, it's just a day off. Don't take it so seriously.
Yeah, if you don't want to support it, don't. Because for me, it's just a day to spend with friends. Like, it's not celebrating anything in particular.
That's right.
Just like a Saturday barbecue, except on a Thursday. So you either celebrate it. If you don't want to, don't. Just enjoy the day off and do something else.
That would be a more powerful protest, because I do understand the angle that it's a pretty rubbish
day that we
picked.
Just stop bringing attention to it.
But you know what the best peaceful protest Gandhi style would be? Every single one that person doesn't like it, quietly go to work, do your job, you ignore it.
Move on
just
from
ignore
it.
Don't take the holiday.
That might inspire other people to do the same thing.
What did Darren, mate, who's a butcher up at Kiwana, what was he saying yesterday?
Yeah, so yesterday morning, last person standing, early game. Talk to Darren about it.
Are you celebrating or not celebrating on Thursday?
I'll just be happy to have the day off.
Thank you.
Prime Minister. That's
happy to have the day off.
That's all we need.
How long until there are protests?
Labor Day. I don't care about Labor Day. I'll take the day off, though.
If you do want to protest, though, the Australian Greens Instagram page. They said, we look forward to seeing you at a Invasion Day rally January 26th and lots of comments, obviously, in the comments section. I like this one.
Go on.
Just stick to legalising marijuana, Greens.
Actually, that is so true.
Name your party.
That's what we want you for.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
How long until there are protests about the protests? You're on that side of the street. We don't like you. And then people start protesting.
I'm going to glue myself to a Green.
You know who's going to be there?
What?
Kmart.
Kmart what?
Did you see their protest for Invasion Day?
No. Triple M Breakfast. Don't you know Marto, Margo and Dan on the radio. Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan. Of course, Australia Day yet tomorrow and tonight they're actually announcing all the awards, the Australian of the Year, the Young Australian of the Year and the Senior Australian of the Year. And a mate of ours, one of the most sensational Australians, is Claude the Lawnmower Man Harvey. Hi, Claude.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, congrats again.
Yeah, congratulations, Claude. You've been pushing a broken lawnmower on and off for the last 20 years. What does it feel like to finally be recognised for such a prestigious award?
It feels really good. I tell you what, Queensland nominated me for the award in Queensland, and I didn't know about it, but it sure is a pleasure to be nominated.
Claude, there might be someone listening who doesn't know your story. So you were a mower man and landscaper, etc. You retired, and then what happened?
Well, two little girls I know that were sexually abused. I started pushing a lawnmower around the country.
So you initially started for the Gold Coast Project for Homeless Youth, and then a few years later you found out about a foundation called Bravehearts. Bravehearts, Marto and I are very familiar with. You're really good mates with Ian, who was the father of a young girl who was sexually abused by his own father, and, of course, her mother, Hetty Johnston, an incredible pillar in the community. And, Claude, you walked into their Arundel office one day and said what?
I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to give up the Gold Coast Project for Homeless Youth, and I'm going to push the lawnmower for you guys, and I'm going to commit my life to you guys, and I want to push the lawnmower to Sydney.
And you've raised an incredible $1.6 million over the years doing it. Are you still pushing the mower around?
Yeah, I'm still pushing the lawnmower around. I'm going to go down to Western New South Wales, in next month.
Claude, I don't mean to be rude because I know it's not nice to ask somebody their age, but can you tell us, you pushing this lawnmower tens of thousands of kilometres over the Australian coast, at what age are you, Claude?
But you believe I'm going over 99?
99 what? Years no. of age.
No, you're not. Yeah,
but I'm only going over 99. I'm only 77.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Claude, when will you stop walking?
I'll stop walking the day I die.
Well, the good thing about the lawnmower is, Claude, it kind of props you up. Marto has this theory that lawnmowers...
I've got a bad knee, Claude. I got my knee done over the holidays and I was on crutches, but then I went and mowed the lawn because you can't fall over with the mower.
That's right.
Holds you up.
It's like a wheelie walker.
Will you ever get on the ride-on if it ever comes to that? Because we need you going forever, Claude. I mean, God forbid that day approaches, but will you swap to a ride-on?
Yeah, well, I wanted to do something different this time, but the department in New South Wales does let you boost the ride-on lawnmower.
Oh, yes, of course. You're on road.
Claude, the mower man, Harvey OAM, has raised incredible amounts of money by walking tens of thousands of kilometres pushing a broken mower. You are our Queensland nominee and finalist for Senior Australian of the Year. We wish you all of
Go
the best.
Go get him, Claude.
Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations and enjoy.
Will do.
On you, Claude. Keep it up, mate. Triple M, Marto, Margo and Dan.